Hello, and welcome back to The Expatriate. I'm your host, Ian McIntosh. This week, I'll be speaking to Finnish-American videographer and fine arts student, Isabella Presnell, about education in Finland, as well as how it compares to our shared experience in the International Baccalaureate program. I hope you enjoy. Hey, Isabel. Welcome to The Expatriate. How are you doing today?
I am good. Enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah, I'm doing all right, too. The sun is really great. I got outside today for a good workout, and I'm feeling fantastic. So, all's good here. So, why don't we start with you telling me your story? How did you get to Finland?
Well, it kind of is a bit of full circle because I was actually born in Finland, in Turku, which is on the west coast of Finland, because my mom is Finnish, though we didn't live here. My mom went back to Germany with me, where my parents were living at the time because my dad was stationed there because he was in the army. And we lived in Germany for about almost 2 years until... the beginning of 2002. Right after my sister was born, we moved to the States, and we lived in various different states, from like Alabama to Tennessee, New York, Ohio, Colorado, Virginia. We lived a lot of places, especially that first year. We moved around quite a lot because of my dad's was stationed different places, and we were just figuring out where to go. And we lived there in the United States until 2012. Then that's when we moved back to Europe, and this time with the addition of my little brother, who's only like 3 years younger than me. And we moved to Sweden in 2012 because my dad got a job there, a contracted job. So that was the first time you could say that we were expats. And we lived there for 3 years, where all three of us kids, we went to fully Swedish schools. I did sixth grade in elementary school, and then I did junior high, all in Swedish. We took additional learning and like to help in English, of course, because it wasn't our native language, but we all practically fluent, kind of. My brother is definitely much better at Swedish than I am. So we lived there for 3 years, then we moved back to the States for 11 months with the same company. We moved to a tiny town in upstate New York, near Binghamton, and it was crap. It's literally the armpit of New York State. It was horrible. So we were there for 11 months, and like the whole thing was just, we just hated it there. So what happened was that my dad got another job in the same company, so all of this was in the same company that my dad was working in for the 3 years before. So we moved to Sweden, the 3 years in Sweden, and the year in New York, and then we moved to Canada. So this was all the same company, but there were just different jobs that my dad was doing. So then we moved to Canada. So next expatriate life. We lived there for 2 years in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and that's where I started the International Baccalaureate program as well. And then, between 11th and 12th grade, so that great time, the summer, you know, before your senior year, really great time to move, we moved to Finland. We made the decision because the next year, my dad's contract would have ended, and it was unsure if it would be continued, and it was just kind of like, well, do we move now, or do we wait to see if the contract is renewed or whatever, so... It was kind of like a decision to move early instead. So then we moved here to Finland, and I did my last year of IB in high school. And it was kind of, we were already all kind of planning since leaving Sweden to come back to Europe, and particularly Finland, just because all three of us are Finnish citizens. So it was kind of a no-brainer to come back to Finland for a free education. because that's definitely a bonus. And, you know,
yeah, we'll get to that later.
Yes, exactly. Wara isn't about to go into debt in the States for a college education. So that was kind of also a main factor, was that education is so good in Finland for us to move, and that it was the summer before my sister, they started high school. So now my sister has graduated high school. So full circle there. So yeah, that was about almost 3 years ago. So yeah, basically 3 years ago. And now still in Finland, getting a university education. Yeah. Kind of like the very condensed. Yeah. I tried to keep it very condensed.
Very condensed. God, I wouldn't want to hear the long one. Wow. Mm. That's impressive, really. Like, you've been living your whole life just moving around like that.
We say that the average that we stay in is about a year and a half to 2 years is the average time that we stay in one place.
Wow. So you're on a bit of a longer streak here in Finland now, because you got to stay here for your education.
Yeah, for a bit, yeah. I think so for the longest was when we lived in New York, the second time when we lived there for 4 years, almost 4 years before we moved to Sweden. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, do you feel like moving around so much, like all the time, does it make it easier when you have to do it again?
Yes and no. I mean, we've definitely kind of mastered the packing down. Like, we know, like, all right, this, like, we have our largest collection is Starbucks mugs, like the collectible Starbucks mugs of, like, each city. So we have, like, four series of those because, like, they've just come out with a new design every so years. So my mom has, like, gotten it down to, like, the T of how to pack those in a box, like, super safely. We have these, like, poofs that we store, like, all the newspapers and wrappings in. So we just, like, empty the poofs, and then we're like, all right, we have everything to wrap all the dishes in. So, I mean, moving has been, like, easy in that sense, but I think it was definitely easier when we were a lot younger. Now that we got older, especially for me, it was very difficult because I was leaving friends behind and moving away and, like, struggling through high school, because I was constantly changing the environment and, like, where my friends were and, like, how to make new friends while also studying for exams and doing assignments. It was kind of, it was a very challenging time for me in that sense. So I think, like I said, it's a yes and no to a bit getting easier of moving around.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to the you talked about moving away from Canada in the summer before your final year. I mean, I did the same thing, so I can relate to the jarring nature of that, and suddenly having two more years, because in Quebec you graduate in grade 11. So I completed grade 10, and then I moved to Turkey into the IB program, and I had another 2 years to go. And
But see, you're special. Everyone else still has 2 years to go after 10th grade. So, like,
oh yeah, but like, that's the thing, is like, but you're like at that stage of your education. You're in that mindset, like, oh, I only have one more year. And they're like, oh, well, no, a little extra one tacked on there. But yeah, wow. I mean, just for me, I mean, I guess, like you said, like, there are certain things that get easier as time goes on with the moving around. I've only done it twice now, so I don't feel like I can speak about it as much as you can. But, I mean, obviously the move to Finland was way easier than the move from Canada. I had less stuff to bring because it was just me. But I also just feel like I've started living in a way where, like, I only have, like, I don't know. I could pack my entire apartment up in a day.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't take long. I feel like in Canada, I couldn't have done that. You know, we had so many things around, you know, a garage full of, you know, appliances and machines. And now it's just like, I look around where I live and I'm like, yeah, I give me 24 hours and I can be ready to move to a different country.
Yeah, that's very similar. I mean, we still have a lot of stuff, we feel like, but compared to, like, when I have gone over to my friends' places when they've lived there for like 10 years, and I'm like, oh my God, you guys have so much stuff. Not to say that, you know, it's just, it happens because you just accumulate stuff. And we, even us, we accumulate things because it's not like we need to get rid of stuff because we're not moving, you know. But because of the move, we've gotten rid of so much more stuff than we used to have. Like, my mom often says that, like, oh, I used to have so many more books. And, like, we used to have, like, this old Singer sewing machine. And we had, we used to have two, sea trunks. Now we only have one. But we used to have, like, so much, like, furniture and, like, different things. And, like, for example, I feel like more people have more things from their childhood, like toys and stuff, where we've just gotten rid of everything. So I think in that sense, it's very similar of where... And when I lived alone up in Tampere, like, I felt like I still had too much stuff, even though I had a very little amount, but we, like, were able to pack up my apartment, yeah, like, in a day, because it wasn't a lot of stuff, so.
Yeah. I think there's a benefit to living that way. I think definitely coming from North America, there's a tendency to just live in excess a little bit more.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Yeah, and I think with, like, moving around so much and kind of living a more expat life is that you kind of become a little bit more of a minimalist, or you start thinking of similar ideals. Like, we, by some standards, are minimalist because we don't have a lot of stuff, or we don't like to have a lot of stuff. So we kind of live by that as well. And it was actually kind of funny when we moved back from Sweden to the States, we had, like, a storage unit. And we had completely kind of almost forgotten what we had in the storage unit. And, like, we were like, oh, shit, that's a lot of stuff. And we were like, oh, we don't actually, like, need any of this. Why did we save this?
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to go back and see that, too. We've got a storage unit sitting in Canada somewhere. And we're going to open it up and be like, we kept this?
Exactly. It's just like, if you didn't. Like, that's the thing, like, we didn't think about the storage unit at all when we lived in Sweden, and then you're like, oh, it makes you think even more, just, like, I think that made me realize as well that, like, oh, you can, like, live, if you don't need it, you don't, like, you're not thinking about needing it, then you don't need it, in that sense, I think, if that makes any sense, the way I phrased it.
Yeah, it does, if you don't actively miss it, after, I don't know, like a year, then you don't need it in your life, you know?
Exactly. And I think it's similar in the idea of, like, that if you don't see it, you don't miss it. So even, like, I feel like I have too much stuff because I don't see quote-unquote everything that I own. So then there's, like, things that I'm like, oh, yeah, I have this, like, shirt that I kind of forgot about. Like, oh, right, I never wear this. Should I get rid of it? But it's so nice. Da-da-da-da. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying. Well, let's move on to more the topic of the episode and get back towards the topic of education here. We talked about before the fact that education here in Finland is free for European citizens and for Finnish citizens, of course.
Yes.
Unfortunately, not free for me, but it's significantly cheaper than a lot of other places, especially, well, your home country of the United States of America, but that's famously bad tuition there.
Yes.
But yeah, and I mean, for me, I also get a scholarship here just simply by maintaining enough credits year by year, and that cuts my tuition in half. So already,
that's really nice.
It's less than I would be even paying in Canada. And Quebec famously has low tuition in Canada as well. So, it's honestly so inexpensive. But I mean, I think Finland sort of makes up for it in terms of its cost of living, because, you know, things aren't cheap here.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think all in all, it's, you know, you can live here for, if you're living a student life and student housing and stuff like that, less than 700 euros a month pretty easily.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
So if you can muster that amount of money and you're a European citizen, then life here can be pretty good. And then if you get a job on top of that, then you're set. So,
yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. How do you find... We've talked about this before together in the past, but the education system here is also very I don't know how you say it, very open, and it's at least in university very much student based. So you get to choose what you want to study, and you get to choose how much effort you want to put in. Professors aren't going to be chasing after you to finish projects or anything like that, you know. And you can get your credits pretty easily, so you could coast by if you wanted to. But if you really want to, you could also put in an immense amount of effort. And that's very different from, I think, the world we come from before.
Yeah, definitely. Especially coming from the IB program, like that is like a complete like 180 of like different education systems. And I'm just like, we've discussed before of like, it was kind of like a shock almost to kind of come to the, to come into university and it being much more kind of open and quote, like, relaxed almost. So like, I think it definitely is interesting because so we're an applied sciences university. So of course, I think with our type of university, we're kind of, it's much more practical based and like practical learning. So I think in that term sense that we are given the like, what am I trying to say here? Like, we are the ones that are responsible for how much we learn, in a sense. Like, our teachers will give us the opportunity to learn and give us, like, the theoretical part. But if we don't really, like you said, if we just coast by, then we aren't taking in the full advantage of what we can learn in that way.
Yeah. I feel like. I think to someone, and especially, I sort of felt like this at first before I started to kind of get the hang of how it works here. Is I felt like I wasn't getting taught enough.
Yes.
When I first came here, I was like, why are these teachers? They don't really give us much work. They're, you know, they're very relaxed and, you know, they're not like super active. And then I started to realize that, like, if you want to learn the things, if you have questions, they will answer all of your questions to the best of their ability. And if they can't, they'll try really hard to get you an answer. There's very active teachers, but they are only active if you're active.
Exactly. You know, like, it's not passive teaching. You have to be an active learner for them to be active teaching.
Yeah. Like I've noticed it that like sometimes like I'll lose track of a course or something, even especially in this quarantine situation, because, you know, unless you're being active in the course, they're not going to chase after you. You know, I feel like their attitude is like, you're an adult, you're at university. You can, you know, take care of yourself. And if you need help, ask for it. But if you're not asking, then they're not going to give it. So it was definitely, there was definitely an adjustment period for me when I moved here, getting used to that. Yeah. Like you said, coming out of the IB program, which is for those who've experienced it, you know, you never forget. I'll just say that.
Yeah. I mean, because I did the IB program in two different high schools, and actually, technically, I did part of my pre-IB also in a third high school, because I went to high school in three different high schools. I started in New York, and then in Canada, and then finished in Finland. So it was, like, I also saw, like, a different approach to teaching in different countries, especially when I went from year one IB in Canada to year two of IB in Finland, just because Finnish teachers teach very differently. It's very similar to how it is in university. Is that like, if you aren't active to like ask the questions, then they aren't going to give you the answer to your questions if you don't ask them, for example. Like, they're just going to like do what they have to, and then that's it. And I noticed that a lot in high school was that because I had a lot to do on my own because I did move in between year one and year two of IB. It is an international program, but it isn't the easiest to move internationally whilst in the program. I will say that. That was a very difficult transition of having to change some of my courses and having to catch up in some of my other courses just because teaching is so different and the way different IB schools take that curriculum and teach it is just a very different strategy in different schools. So, and I've noticed it even like between my experience of my, of what I did IB in here in Finland versus like what my siblings are, because they go to a different high school than I went to when we moved here. So their IB experience has been slightly different than mine. Of course, also staying in the same high school the whole time helps, you know, in that.
Yeah. I was going to say that, that, yeah, for those listening who don't know what the IB is, because here in Finland, I know lots of people don't, it's the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program. And basically, it's an attempt to standardize education across multiple countries. I think it was started in the UK or something like that. No, it's based on the Cambridge system. Did it start in Switzerland? Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. But it's based off the Cambridge system, right?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Basically, there's like, you take, there's like
six. Go ahead, you explain it. You seem to know more.
There's six, what would you say, like curriculum? So there's like your language A, your language B, a science, a social course, like history or like politics or like economics, and then like a math, and then you can either then take usually a second science or then an arts. And that was actually very interesting, side note, very quick, was that in Canada, our IB coordinator was very adamant and like very much believed that like students should take a course from each kind of topic. So including an arts one to be very much more well-rounded, which is IB kind of promotes as of becoming a well-rounded student. Whereas here in Finland, especially for my siblings at their school, their school, for example, is taking away visual arts at a higher level and promoting more of like science and mathematical learning, like promoting to take another science course or taking more like higher levels. So there's standard level and higher level of your courses. So it's kind of self-evident. A standard level is just like kind of the basic level, and then a higher level, you just learn more and apply more. And then you take three standard levels, you take three HLs. And then there's also a component known as TOK, CAS, and your extended essay. So TOK is theory of knowledge, which is basically, how would you explain theory of knowledge? It's kind of like,
it's a basically a philosophy course, but they don't want to label it a philosophy course for some reason. I don't fully understand.
Because they technically have an IB philosophy course, and then they have TOK on top of that.
They didn't have it at my school.
They have it in some schools. So TOK is like kind of like this morality, philosophy, psychology type of course. It's really weird. Everyone is almost confused by it. So it's like, but it's just one of the mandatory courses. Yeah.
I think it's an attempt to just like make sure you're like, you know, you can think in that realm, you know?
Yeah.
Like you said, they're trying to make well-rounded students. So someone doesn't choose philosophy, they still want to make sure that someone can still philosophize and think in a way outside of like the constructs of, you know, what we consider, you know, normal thought, I guess. It's that, I don't even know how to describe it. I don't have the vocabulary or the vernacular to.
Yeah, TOK is just one of those courses. And then we have CAS, which is creativity, action, and service. So it's basically just like, again, making you a well-rounded person for society of just doing creative and action and service hours, and then kind of reflecting on your activities that you did. And then you do a final extended essay, which is kind of like, it's a 4,000 word paper about really any topic that you want to do. So, and then,
sort of
within the like confines of the courses.
Yeah. I think my opinion on the IB is it's a great idea, just not perfectly executed.
I think,
you know,
yeah, it depends also, I think, on the schools, because I felt my Canadian high school almost did it better than my Finnish high school, which is very interesting because Finnish education is one of the top in the world. And the thing is that the problem is that Finnish teachers don't know, what I felt was that they didn't know how to teach the IB program. They were good teachers in the sense that I could see how they were very good teachers for the Finnish national side students. But as an IB teacher, they just didn't know how to teach it that way. like teach it differently. So I think that was also a problem that I faced, was that just the way that they taught didn't make sense for how IB is kind of is. So.
Yeah, well, I think I'm in an applied sciences university with you, like you said. So my experience with Finnish education is somewhat limited, but I don't get the impression that they focus very hard on the academic side. And like, you know, you're not like, you don't become, I don't feel like I'm doing much, you know, there's not much writing here. I'm not doing essays or anything like that, but there are a few, but they're very like few and far between. It's mostly project learning here, but, the IB is ultra academic. That's like its purpose. And I feel like maybe there's like a bit of a clash of ideals that way in terms of, probably the way the Finnish teachers are like, you know, taught teaching.
Yeah. And I think, I would like to note that like my experiences are very different from Finnish high school taking IB to the applied sciences university that we are in now. They're very different situations that I've felt of how the teachers teach. And I don't know if that's because just like of how high school teachers are taught to teach, or just like of the environment of high school versus like our school, which is our teachers, for example, like in the fine art path are artists that are teaching rather than teachers teaching art. So I think that also kind of has changed how we are taught in a way, because it's much more practical and a little bit of theoretical of how our teaching is. And they're kind of like, all right, well, you just got to learn the stuff to do what you want to do. But we can teach you if you ask it, but we're not going to teach it if you don't ask it. Whereas I felt like in high school, they were just like, all right, we're going to teach you this and this and this. Don't have questions because I'm not going to answer it. So like that was, so it was two very different. I just wanted to point that out, that like I have like had two very different like teaching or learning experiences in Finland. Like they aren't very similar in that way.
Yeah. That's interesting. So do you feel like Finnish high school prepares Finnish students well for their university programs?
Yes. And well, the thing is, I can't really say for the Finnish national side, because I did come during the last year of high school. So I don't know what Finnish national side high school is really like, because that's also a totally other problem in high school that I realized, and that's in my siblings' high school and a lot of people, is that the English international baccalaureate program was not intermingling with the Finnish national side, or for example, my sibling school is in the Swedish national side. And that's a problem that I see also in our school, of that our English degree program is not intermingling with the Finnish degree program. So what was the original point? So are Finnish students being prepared for university? I think yes and no, because I think for on the Finnish side, they take a large variety of courses. It's kind of similar to IB, kind of, in the sense that you take 3 years worth of courses and then you take your final matriculation exams in your final year, in the sense of how it's kind of scheduled. Because in IB, you take your exams at the end of your year two after everything you've learned over 2 years. So it's kind of similar in the Finnish degree program in that sense. So I think in some ways, based on what they learn, they probably are prepared for the Finnish degree programs in university. I would say that. And a lot of the times, also, high school students either go to an applied science or like a vocational school or university, or a lot of international students that take, for example, the international baccalaureate program, or for example, in the English school that's in Helsinki, they will go outside of Finland for their university education. The large majority of my friends that I have from high school, they have gone to the UK or the Netherlands or Scotland for their university education. I would know probably two or three people from my class that actually stayed in Finland for their university education. So okay. It's a very different thing. Yeah.
Well, I think this has been a very good conversation.
Yes. Thank you for letting me ramble.
Yeah, no, that's the whole point of a podcast, you know?
Yeah.
People are here to listen, so they'll listen to your mad ramblings every now and again.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the podcast today, and I hope to see you again soon.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Expatriate. Episodes air at 8 a.m. every Thursday. If you want to find out more, you can find us at The Expat Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks to Isabel and Laura for making this episode happen. This is your host, Ian McIntosh, saying goodbye for now. See you next week.